Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Om Shripada Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Ashtatara Satsisi Mahat Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Kota Vaishnavrinda ki. Namacharja Shri Haridas Thakur ki. Prem Gahol Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Shri Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki. Vrindavan Dham ki. Sisi Maya Purnavadi Dham ki. Ganga Mai ki. Jamuna Mai ki. Bhakti Devi ki. Shrimati Tulsi Devi ki jai. The Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki. Sam Veda Bhaktivrinda ki. Gaur Premanandi. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Bhopa Bhujis. Thank you for inviting me. Today is the disappearance day of His Grace, Jayananda Prabhu, Jayananda Das. And throughout ISKCON, Jayananda Prabhu is remembered with the greatest affection. And he will be remembered with the greatest of affection for as long as ISKCON is in existence. His name is synonymous with San Francisco. His name is synonymous with Srila Prabhupada and his early days opening Krishna consciousness. And his name is, of course, synonymous with Rath Yatra. Jai Ananda. Jai means victory, right? And Ananda means bliss. So the bliss that is there in achieving victory, victory over the senses, victory over Maya, victory over death. Well, Jayananda Prabhu came to Srila Prabhupada in 1967, I believe, in San Francisco, one of the first devotees to actually take up Krishna consciousness in that part of the country. And one of his early services was driving taxi cab and then giving his whole salary at the end of the week, giving all his money to Srila Prabhupada. And at one point he thought, I should stop driving a taxi and move into temple and work full time. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, we need the money. We need the Lakshmi. Now, of course, ISKCON is a huge organization all over the world. Vast properties, books, devotees, buildings. We can just scarcely imagine what it was like when Prabhupada initiated this movement, when they would keep track of dollars. $1, $2, $3. Huh? Can just imagine what that was like. One time a devotee came to Srila Prabhupada in the early days in New York. He was a little crazy. So he came to Srila Prabhupada and he asked for $5. So Srila Prabhupada said, Why do you want $5? And he said, I want to buy gasoline so I can set myself on fire. So Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything immediately, but he called for Brahmananda Prabhu, who was at that time the secretary and treasurer. So Brahmananda Prabhu came in, and Srila Prabhupada said, Brahmananda Prabhu, this Prabhu wants $5 for gasoline so he can light himself on fire and commit suicide. So he said, how much does gasoline cost? And Brahmananda Prabhu at that time, he said, I think it's around 45 cents a gallon. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, then you need more, no more than 45 cents. And then he said, Brahmananda Prabhu, can we afford 45 cents? And Brahmananda Prabhu said, no, Srila Prabhupada, we cannot afford 45 cents. Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, well, I'm sorry. I would give you, but we don't have the Lakshmi. So in those early days, all of the devotees had to band together, and whatever service they could render, whatever resources they could muster, they would bring those together for Srila Prabhupada. And in that way, he slowly, little by little, he introduced Krishna consciousness to the Western world. And then when he had sufficiently planted the seed in the West, and he was convinced that now it was had solid roots, then he brought some of his first fledgling devotees from the West back to India, knowing that that would convince the Indian people. Now, one of the things that I noted yesterday, over the last few days I've noted in speaking with all of you, is that I see in you a certain pride as you awaken to your cultural, spiritual, cultural roots and heritage through Srila Prabhupada. Your confidence in the original culture of India is very, very strong and very simple, very powerful. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. He, by giving Krishna consciousness to the West, he was able to come back and inspire the people in Bharat Varsha to go back and look at their spiritual culture and see, and then take up that spiritual culture with great conviction and great enthusiasm. Because the West, the culture of the West is based on searching for the truth. The culture of the East is rooted in the truth. You understand the difference? The culture of the West is based on trying to find out, trying to figure out. And so they're empirically searching. It's like in America, the basic principles of the government of the United States are that the government's job is to secure three basic, what are called inalienable rights. Inalienable means they cannot be given nor taken away from an outside source. They are intrinsic to the soul. They come with life, with existence. And they are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as jaded as that may appear to someone from the spiritual perspective, in reality, that's not very far from the soul's search for liberation. You understand? And in fact, the Declaration of Independence in America begins with, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with these same rights. Not just men who have come to this country, not just men who are born in this country, but all men born in every country on the face of the earth. They all are seeking the same thing: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Right? So, life, we know, from the Western perspective, begins with birth. But from the East, in India, from the Vedic conclusion, life is eternal. Right? Nityo nityanam chaitananas chaitananam ekobahunam jovididhati kaman. So there is this idea that there are, every living being is eternal. But amongst all the eternal living beings, there's one eternal living being who is facilitating the freedom or the liberty and the happiness of all other living beings. So, the West naturally is pursuing happiness and lacking spiritual association, lacking spiritual authority. It is quite natural that they would pursue happiness through the senses. Right? That they try to have they try to find the best way to eat, the best way to sleep, the best way to have sex, the best way to travel, the best way to build shelter, the best way to entertain. You understand? They're looking for all this. They're trying to find the best way to do all of this. But before you can find out the best way, you have to know the purpose. When you know the purpose, then it changes or modifies the way you do them. Or for what reason. How much energy you would devote to doing that. You see? So when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he was even told by one of his godbrothers that when you come to the West, Swamiji, you know, you're going to have to learn how to eat with a fork and a knife. And Prabhupada said, no, I'll teach them how to eat with their hands. Whereas Srila Prabhupada, a couple of his godbrothers came, they tried to introduce Krishna consciousness, but they didn't understand. They didn't see the lack of Krishna consciousness in the West as an opportunity. They saw it as a defect. They saw it as an obstacle. An insurmountable obstacle. There's a story of a salesman who was sent to Africa by his company. Okay? He was a shoe salesman. So this was maybe 200 years ago from England. So he got on a boat. He had a big trunk, many shoes. He went all the way to Africa. And not 200 years ago, say 100 years ago. So he gets to Africa and he sees they don't even wear shoes. Nobody wears shoes. So he immediately gets on the telegraph and he sends back a telegram. Send me money to bring me home. This place is useless. The people don't even use shoes. So the company sends him some money. They bring him back. And they send another salesman. He goes to the trunk of shoes. He gets to Africa. He sees nobody has shoes. He sends a message. Please, send more shoes. It's a gold mine. I'll be able to sell shoes to everyone. You see? The difference in the vision. So for centuries, the secret of devotional service and the secret of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was locked up. And then Srila Prabhupada came with absolute faith in the process and in the authority of the Parampara. You know the poem that Prabhupada wrote on the board, the Jaladutta. He said, I don't know why you brought me here. These people are steeped in the modes of passion and ignorance. But you brought me here, so now you make me dance. Make me dance as you like. Oh Lord, please, just make me dance. So Srila Prabhupada came, put his hands in the air, chanted Hare Krishna, and danced. The Swami two-step, right? Like that. And he melted everyone's heart. And one of the first devotees to come forward and have his heart melted was Jayananda Prabhu. So, by the time I had become a devotee in 1973, Jayananda Prabhu was already a legend in ISKCON. Already he was a legend because everyone loved him so much. He was a very, very humble devotee. He was a very simple devotee. He was a very powerful devotee. He was like an iceberg. You know what is an iceberg? Everyone knows? Above the water, you have maybe a certain amount, okay, of ice. But the main portion of the iceberg is below the ice. I mean, below the water. Okay, that's where it's deepest and widest. It may be like this here, but below the water it may go out for many, many feet. You see? Maybe 1,000 feet. And deep, maybe 100 feet, 200 feet. I don't know. So when it moves, it doesn't appear to be moving very fast. But you cannot stop it. There is no force on earth that can stop an iceberg. A giant iceberg. No ship. Nothing. Iceberg will just, as it's moving, it just moves everything in its path. It's so big. It's so formidable. And then carried with the flow of the water. It just moves. So Jayananda Prabhu was like that. He was like a giant iceberg. He just moved ploddingly along. And whatever Srila Prabhupada asked him to accomplish, he would do it. In 1968, Srila Prabhupada wanted to print his first edition, paperback edition, of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he wasn't sure how he was going to get to Lakshmi. Jayananda Prabhu came in Prabhupada's room, saw Prabhupada deeply thinking. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, what he was contemplating. And Srila Prabhupada told him, and he said, well, Srila Prabhupada, I have some savings. I'll give you whatever I have. So he managed to accumulate his savings, and he managed to secure some family donations, and he gave Srila Prabhupada, he came in the next day and gave Prabhupada $5,000. And Prabhupada used that money to print his first teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That was the first large book that Prabhupada distributed. The first time that I went on a walk with Srila Prabhupada in 1973, there was some discussion on the walk as to who initiated book distribution in the West. And there was somebody offered the name of Bhudimanta. And then another devotee offered the name of Keshava. Keshava Prabhu. His brother was GBC for Los Angeles at that time. So Prabhupada stopped and he said, no, I think Jayananda. Jayananda was the first. And he turned on the walk and he called and said, Jayananda Prabhu, Jayananda, come please, come forward. And Jayananda, he came forward, and Srila Prabhupada said, you were the first, weren't you? And Jayananda said, first what, Srila Prabhupada? He said, you were the first devotee to start book distribution. And Jayananda said, no, Srila Prabhupada, you were the first devotee to start book distribution. Prabhupada laughed. So he gave all credit, though, to Jayananda for that. Jayananda had the ability to engage anyone in devotional service. And people of all walks of life who came in contact with Jayananda Prabhu through his work at the temple were struck by him. They truly developed an affection for him, even if they had no other contact with the devotees. There's a famous story when, in 1977, one devotee went to the city council in San Francisco to apply for the permit for Ratha Yatra. Historically, Jayananda had been doing that every year since 1967. He would go down to the city council and apply for the permit. So when this devotee applied for the permit, one of the council members said, excuse me, but where is, I can't remember Jayananda's last name, but his first name was James. Last name is? Cole. Okay. So she said, where is James Cole? And the devotee said, oh, you didn't, no one told you? And she said, told me what? And she said, yes. He went back to Krishna last year, just before Ratha Yatra. And she immediately broke down crying. She just broke down crying in front of everyone in the whole council. She said, what a terrible loss. We have lost such a friend. San Francisco has lost such a dear son. Even those kinds of people, police officers, who dealt with the devotees at the temple. Fruit vendors at the market. Jayananda would go down there with a truck and beg fruit. Give us your day-old fruit, your two-day fruit, your three-day-old fruit. Whatever you're going to throw away, give it to us. We can use some of it. So he had many different vendors that he would deal with. And he was always a gentleman. And he would always bring them prasadam. He would always bring a plate of prasadam. One of Jayananda's favorite pastimes was taking prasadam. And his second favorite pastime was distributing prasadam. I saw Jayananda serving prasadam in the San Francisco temple in 1974. I had never seen anyone so enthusiastic to pass out prasadam to the devotees. Simple prasadam. Potatoes boiled with some sour cream, coriander, black pepper, and turmeric. It wasn't a complicated preparation. And then he had one devotee go out and buy orange juice and yogurt and sugar. And he mixed them together and made a nectar. If you came to Jayananda with this many Prabhus and said, Prabhu, we need prasadam for all of these men, Jayananda would immediately know what to do. He could immediately make a halava, a potato preparation, a nectar drink, cut up some apples or something. And he would say, okay, you have a kirtan. And when the kirtan's fine, well, I'll come and keep the kirtan going. And I'll come and let you know when the kirtan, when the prasadam's ready. And he would run into the kitchen with grab two, three, four, five prabhus. While the brahmacharis, he would have a big collection of brahmacharis always helping to build the Rathyatra carts. And Jayananda was also famous for being able to engage people that ordinarily couldn't find a place in the temple, you know? They were sort of a misfit. Strange, eccentric, you know? They just didn't fit, you know? They weren't pukka. But Jayananda would befriend them. He would make them feel special. And he would make them feel that Krishna accepted them. And he would bring them into the sphere, the orbit of Srila Prabhupada. So that he was very, very dear to the devotees. Because he never had an unkind word for the devotees. He loved Krishna Katha. I drove on a bus with Vishnu John Swami and Jayananda Prabhu from Minneapolis to New York City in 1975, in February. And Jayananda Prabhu took great pleasure in having someone read out loud from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book or from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he would ask you, Prabhu, could you read out loud? He'd ask you, Prabhu, would you read out loud? And in one sense, it was his way of engaging us. But also, it was his way of continually hearing. Huh? He was able to keep the flow of Krishna Katha always going. Always exchanging. Like that. And in the last 6 or 8 months of his life, Jayananda Prabhu spent a good part of that in New York, in a temple in New York. He came in the spring, around May, I think, or April or May, and began to construct the Rathyatra carts for the Rathyatra in July. The first Rathyatra in New York City. The first Rathyatra on Fifth Avenue. When I met Srila Prabhupada in Washington, D.C. that same summer, Srila Prabhupada asked me, did I stay in Washington? And I said, no, Srila Prabhupada, I stay in New York. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, New York. I began in New York. I said, I know Srila Prabhupada. He said, are you coming to Rathyatra? I said, I wouldn't miss that for anything. I wouldn't miss that for anything. And Prabhupada said, yes. It has been my lifelong dream to have Rathyatra in New York City on Fifth Avenue, the most important street in the most important city in the most important country in the West, for spreading Krishna consciousness. So Jayananda knew that that was Prabhupada's dream. And despite the fact that he was becoming sick, he didn't tell anyone. He was beginning to develop symptoms that he was becoming ill. But he didn't tell anyone. Because he was afraid that they might insist on him doing something that would interfere with his ability to work on the Rathayatra carts for Srila Prabhupada. But he was actually in a lot of pain in the last month of the construction of the carts. He was beginning to develop various symptoms in various parts of his body, and the pain was starting to take place. But he would not speak about it. He never informed Adi Keshava until after Rathayatra. I was in Prabhupada's room in a darshan when Jayananda Prabhu fell asleep. 2 days before Rathayatra. Okay? So imagine we're here. Everyone's close. Sitting. It's very, quiet in the room, except when Prabhupada would speak. There weren't even fans. It was very quiet. So imagine this Prabhu here is asleep, sitting up against the wall. Okay? Because that's how Jayananda was, over there by the wall. And he fell asleep like this, and he had his shutter down like that. And he started to snore. You know what is snoring? Like that. So he began to snore. So one devotee came over and he tried to wake him. Shh, Prabhu, Prabhu. And Prabhupada looked and said, no. Don't touch him. Let him rest. He's working very hard for Lord Jagannath. Prabhupada stopped him. And the devotee looked up. And everyone could see. And Prabhupada looked at Jayananda with such affection. Such affection. And everyone could see how dear he was to Srila Prabhupada. So Jayananda Prabhu then completed the Rathayatra carts and participated in the Rathayatra. He was steering, guiding with a megaphone and steering the principal cart that Srila Prabhupada was seated upon through the whole parade. He was chanting the whole parade in ecstasy, looking at Lord Jagannath. And immediately afterwards, he fell ill and he had to go to the hospital. So he stayed in the hospital for about 7 days. And then he just, in the middle of the night, he got up and he, in his hospital garments, he walked out of the hospital and he came back to the temple. In the middle of the night, he called up someone and said, listen, I'm coming back. Adi Keshava came down, met him at the front door because the door was locked. And he came in and he never went back to the hospital. So every day he would come downstairs and sit in front of Lord Jagannath, and he would polish all of Lord Jagannath's silver, his plates, you know, like that. And he would listen to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. So he passed that much time. And the following summer, throughout that winter and spring, he was in New York. And then again, somewhere in that spring period, he left New York, and the devotees asked him to come to Los Angeles, and even though he could not participate in the actual construction of the Rathayatra cart, they asked him if he would please come, give class, inspire the devotees. If he sees some problem, tell them, don't do this, do that, do like this, do like that. He was very, very talented. With his hands. He always kept all the temple vehicles working. He kept the plumbing working. He kept the refrigeration working. He kept the stoves working. The heat, the lights. any little thing that would break in the temple, somehow or other, Jayananda knew how to fix it. He was like that, talented like that. So he went to Los Angeles, and he stayed there, overseeing the construction of the Rathyatra cart every day. But he was not to remain within this world till the Rathyatra took place. I think maybe 1 month or 1.5 months prior, something like that, 2 months prior, he left his body. Just prior to Mangalartik, in the morning, the devotees could tell that he was getting close to leaving. And only 1 hour before he left this world, he actually sat up in his... He hadn't sat up for days. But he actually suddenly sat up. And he looked straight ahead. And he said, Hare Krishna. And the devotee said, are you all right? And he looked at the devotees and said, I'm fine. I'm perfectly all right. That was the last he said. I'm perfectly all right. And then he laid back down. Maybe 20 minutes later, Mangalartik started. Kirtan was going in the temple. And across the street, Jayananda went back to Krishna. His room was filled with devotees. They were all holding kirtan, chanting. When Srila Prabhupada was informed, Srila Prabhupada was feeling great separation. Great separation. And he immediately called his secretary. And he directly wrote a letter to Jayananda Prabhu, which he then sent out to all the temples immediately that next day. And in that letter, Srila Prabhupada thanked him for all of his devotional service that he had rendered to him, and thanked him for all of the help he had given Srila Prabhupada in initiating the Krishna consciousness movement. And then he said that either you have gone on to the heavenly planets to increase your Krishna consciousness, or you have gone back home, back to Godhead. And then he said, but as I have been informed that you are surrounded by devotees holding the kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada said, I have no doubt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken you straight back to home, back to Godhead. So on a day like this, we like to meditate on these great souls. Srila Prabhupada said that from that day forward, in ISKCON, all of our Rathyatra carts, all over the world, wherever we hold Rathyatra, they should place on that cart a photograph of Jayananda Prabhu. Right? And I'm sure even here in India, right, they do that. They put Jayananda Prabhu's photograph. Prabhupada said that his name is synonymous with Rathyatra and Lord Jagannath, devotion to Lord Jagannath. So, he was one of the first devotees. I believe he was the actual first devotee to leave their body while Prabhupada was on the planet that Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. And we can imagine how special and dear he was to Prabhupada, because he was spared, right? He was spared having to witness Srila Prabhupada leaving this world. He left before Prabhupada left. Like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur said that he could not bear to see Lord Chaitanya leave this world. He left before Lord Chaitanya because he couldn't accommodate that. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first wife, Lakshmi Priya. She could not accommodate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She is a manifestation of Satyabhama. And she could not accommodate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. She could not accommodate that relationship. So she left her body in separation. So Jayananda Prabhu was given, by Krishna's mercy, he was given the opportunity to leave before Srila Prabhupada. So we can have no doubt that he was actually a very, very special soul who took birth, yeah, to help Prabhupada continue serving Srila Prabhupada in Prabhupada's mission. That he must have had some special relationship with Srila Prabhupada. That he could serve him in that way. Just like Vishnu Janaswami. Vishnu Janaswami was like that also. He was a very special devotee who had a very powerful influence and a very powerful impact in spreading Krishna consciousness in the early days of Krishna consciousness. Because he so thoroughly, so completely surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, so thoroughly and so completely embraced his position as a servant to Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada actually uses the term in the 18th chapter, in the text number 58 or 59, one of the two. Prabhupada says that anyone who does work fully surrendered to Krishna in all his activities, he becomes glorious. And when someone is glorious, they get glorified. Right? In the material world, people are glorified for very cheap reasons. They're glorified because they're wealthy, they're famous, they're beautiful, they're knowledgeable, they might do some, they have some skill or prowess. But actually, in the material world, all glorification is really envy. Do you understand? What they're doing is highlighting some extraordinary material blessing that someone has. They're highlighting this blessing, and they're basically saying, we wish we also had that blessing, but we don't have that blessing. You must be very special because you have that blessing. You see? But that is not actual glorification. That is not glorification, that's envy. Real glorification is only possible for Krishna and for Krishna's devotees. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking with Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy said, who is the most glorious person? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that person who surrenders heart and soul to Krishna, he's the most glorious. And he is worthy of our glorification. Well, Jayananda Prabhu was such a devotee. And ISKCON was very, very fortunate indeed, very blessed to have had his example. And it remains with us now. And we can meditate on the simplicity of Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda Prabhu would oftentimes ask other people to give class. He would say, why don't you give class? I don't give class. I don't give such nice classes. I don't know so many verses. Jayananda knew maybe 8 verses. But they were the most important verses. And when he spoke them with such conviction. Such conviction. But Jayananda Prabhu was not a scholar. He was a bhakta. But he could affect and influence people more powerfully than the greatest scholars, the most scholarly devotees. He could move a person from a position of non-devotion to a position of devotion just by his example, by his association. All the scholarship may not work, but Jayananda, coming up, rendering service. Are you hungry, Prabhu? Do you need some prasadam? Are you all right? Can I help you? Is there some problem? You understand? Like that. He made every devotee feel that they counted, that they mattered to Srila Prabhupada. Vishnujan had that gift also. When I first became a devotee, Vishnujan came to the temple where I joined in Detroit, Michigan. And he took us out on Harinam. So he would we would chant, and then he would give a little talk. Okay? So he did that twice. And after that, when he would stop the kirtan, he would take a devotee and he would say, Prabhu, why don't you give a talk? So one or two devotees spoke, and then after the third time, he said to me, hey, Bhakta Pat, why don't you give a talk? I'd never spoken in front of a group before about Krishna consciousness. Actually, I'd never spoken in front of a group before at all. So I was a little shy. He said, no, go ahead. Just tell them what you've experienced in chanting. So I stood up in front of everyone and I said, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't discovered this chanting already, this is the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I want to invite all of you, I want to encourage all of you to chant. By chanting this vibration, your mind will become freed of all anxiety, and you will feel the association and presence of God. You can chant anywhere. It's free, and it's completely portable. You can take it with you everywhere. Thank you very much. And I step back. Vishnu John walked up to me and said, that was a wonderful lecture, Bhakti Pat. He said, just to encourage, you know, just to inspire. So these great devotees in our ISKCON history, they are there for our benefit. We can meditate on them. So today, everyone can offer extra special prayers to Jayananda Prabhu that we can become strengthened in our commitment to Srila Prabhupada, that our appreciation for our God brothers can deepen, that our commitment to chanting the holy name can become stronger, that our attention to the 10 offenses can become more vigilant, and our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya for allowing us a place in the kirtan, and a place at the table, our gratitude. We cannot repay Krishna. He's given us a place in the kirtan. We are the most fortunate men in the world because we love to chant Hare Krishna. There is a big difference between a person who loves to chant Hare Krishna and a person who hears the chanting goes, what are you doing? Right? But that first question, what are you doing? That's the beginning. And from there, it's a gradual step-by-step process until that person also finds himself. When I became a devotee, my mother asked me, at that time I was investigating, reading her books. She found out that I was going to the temple. So she said, what is your plan? What are you going to do? And I said, well, don't worry, Mom. I'm just checking it out. You'll never see me downtown on Woodward Avenue chanting, singing in a sheet. And 2 months later, there I was, downtown Detroit, Michigan, singing in a dhoti. Just by asking that question, what are you doing? What is this chanting? So we pray to devotees like Jayananda Prabhu to give us that strength of conviction and enthusiasm and that attachment. Any questions? Or comments? What is the average age of the devotees here? 30? 26? 25? 30? Most of you have been devotees for a few years now? 3, 4, 5 years at least? Strong crew. Our strength is in numbers. Right? Prabhupada said you can break one stick, but a bundle of sticks, very difficult to break. Right? All right. 1 hour, huh? Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Jayananda Prabhu. Hare Bol.